Welcome back for the second hour of Issues Etc. Open Lines continues for your questions and your comments. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'm Todd Wilkin. Two issues on the table. One I have hardly placed on the table. It's just sitting there in the corner. One, we just talked in the last hour with one of the co-authors of the investigative report of Joyce Meyer Ministries in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Carolyn Tuft. We'll be talking to her again, I believe, on Wednesday. We'll try and have her back with her other co-author in that series in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Well, have you read it? What do you think about it? We are coming to you live this Monday, November the 17th, and we're talking a bit about that series in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Also, did you hear Rush Limbaugh's comeback today at 11 o'clock? If you did, what did you think? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Let's go straight back to the phones. Kurt is calling from his car. Kurt, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Pastor. I saw that article yesterday and I came flying out of my chair. I thought, I hope you really, really hope you address this today on Joyce Myers.
What did you think of the, I assume you were talking about the first part of the four-part series that they're doing. What did you think about it so far?
Oh, I you know, there was so much I thought about it. You know, first of all, I have a problem. First and foremost, I have a problem with a woman being a preacher. Secondly, when I paged through it and I saw pictures of her on the walls, it immediately made me think of Saddam Hussein. And I've heard repeatedly on AM 850, on Issues, Etc., and Law and Gospel, is it is not about us, it's about Jesus. And I don't see Jesus on the walls. I see her. It's like, it's about me, me, me. Another thing, too, is I grew up a Lutheran. My Lutheran pastor had an old Chevy Impala. He lived in a, you know, back then probably $15,000 house. And I think, you know, something's wrong with this picture. People say that the police and the firefighters aren't paid enough for the kind of job they do. So, you know, let's take a pastor or a person who preaches and speaks about God. Should they not be rewarded greatly? But then again, on the other hand, there's just something wrong with seeing all these millions flying all over with a corporate jet and a boat and all that other stuff. I think there's something wrong with that, but I can't put my finger on it.
Kurt, thank you very much. I don't know. I mean, I react the same way viscerally, kind of to, it seems, there's something incongruous there. Now, you know, you will come across Word Faith teachers who will tell you that Jesus himself dressed in the finest of clothes, that he wore the essentially the equivalent of the Armani suit in the first century and the finest of all things. You don't read about that in the Bible, but they say he did because, of course, he was the living example of what it really means to have faith and to be blessed by God. Laying aside the fact that Jesus himself said the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Even the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has got no place to lay down. Even though Scripture tells us in advance in prophecy that he would be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with sorrow, nothing about him by which we would esteem him. Rather, we would esteem him stricken, smitten, and afflicted of God. We would think that God is punishing him. You will run across Word Faith teachers who will tell you that prosperity is a direct sign of God's blessing. And I have that same visceral reaction. I have to admit and agree, Kurt, that you say there's something wrong here. But I think in the end, it is a bit of a red herring, especially in the case of Joyce Meyer here, where we have her words in black and white, what she thinks the Bible is really all about. And I think that that is more egregious than any misspending of money, any misuse of money, any focus on money. All of those things that cause us to recoil in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch series pale in comparison, to my thinking, with the statement made at the very end of that first part of the series where Joyce says the whole Bible really has one message, obey me and do what I tell you and you will be blessed. She has taken the true message of the Bible, which is of Christ's obedience for us sinners, blessing through his obedience, not ours, she's taken it all and turned it on its head. And that is far more disturbing to me than any of the fiscal matters. What do the rest of you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Calling from his car, Roy is on the line. Roy, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Pastor. I read those articles, and, you know, I don't see any difference except maybe her rise has been a little more rapid than the Benny Hinn's and the John Arnott's and, you know, the Kenneth Hagin's and the rest of the world. But my question is, if we look at the reality of the situation, Joyce Meyer is giving people what they want, and that's works righteous, because none of us can really get a grasp of faith by grace. And, you know, I think of a house of ill repute. Is it the proprietor who's guilty, or is it the customers who come to the proprietor? If the truth is preached from the Word of God, to be attending a little study with the elderly, tall gentleman who speaks with kind of a brogue by the name of Dr. Lewis Brighton, who's teaching a class on my church, and I see emotion there with the truth. I see people absolutely involved, but the truth is being proclaimed. And it's the book of Romans. And all we have to do is read it. And that's all the emotion we need. But
Roy,
people want to know.
Roy, I think you're right. I think you've answered in a nutshell why the appeal. Why do people literally throw their money at the likes of Joyce Meyer? Why do they have to be restrained from giving their money? Not that anybody there is restraining them, but they would have to be restrained. Why? Because this message that if all you got to do is obey and do what God tells you to do and you'll be blessed appeals to the old Adam. It appeals to that little rotten sinner in all of us that insists on making his own way to God. The old Adam will pay anything to be affirmed in that opinion. He will sacrifice anything. He will go without meals to be affirmed in his opinion that if it's going to be, it's up to me, in the words of another so-called evangelist. To be affirmed in the denial of his own sin, to be affirmed in his own high estimate of his own obedience, and that somehow God is going to smile upon him because of his obedience. Anything. Look at the popularity of the Purpose-Driven Life books. They're just flying off the shelves. Because, in large part, they affirm exactly the same thing that Joyce Meyer affirms. That Jesus was a great guy, and he was fine and good, and he died for us on the cross, and that's all good, but now the rest is up to you. If you want intimacy with God, you got to be obedient. Obedience is kind of the key to opening up all things. When Scripture, and I know everyone says, but isn't that what the Bible teaches? Doesn't the Bible teach that we're supposed to be obedient? Of course it does, but it also teaches that we aren't. But one was Jesus Christ, and he was obedient for us, in our place. And when God looks upon us in grace, it is solely because he's looking upon us through the obedience of the one man, Jesus Christ, our Savior, his Son. Steve is calling from his car. Steve, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes, how you doing, Pastor?
Doing well.
Yeah, I've been kind of bothered with George Myers. A lot of my friends are starting to go to that Dream Center. She just opened up in the center. I mean, they flocking to it, telling me how great it is and stuff. But I always heard about her teaching. I didn't agree with it, for going Jesus going to hell and you know, and a lot of, I go to a full gospel church, but I'm considering coming up because a lot of the ministers there, they always mention her name, how well she's doing, and they mention T.D. Jakes, and, you know, and it's starting to make me not, they teach a lot of prosperity. All I want to do is be rich in spirit and in the Lord. You know, I don't care about money, material, wealth, and all that stuff. I just want to have a love the Lord and do what he wants me to do, you know, and trust him as my Savior. You know, and his word is so awesome. That's what we need. But as far as speaking things, like my pastor said, I speak blessings over you. I speak this over you, financial blessings, all that. I don't agree with that.
Steve, it sounds like it's time for you to find another church where you really are being taught not that your pastor can speak blessings over you, but that all blessings flow from the cross of Jesus Christ, and that he is the treasure. He is the treasure that is ultimately all of God's riches rolled into one thing. It's God bankrupted heaven when he sent Christ to the cross. God has given us everything he has in Jesus Christ.
That's right. All the spiritual riches in heaven.
Right. You're quoting from Ephesians. Jesus. You're quoting from Ephesians, Steve. Thank you very much for the call. Oh, well, it finds its way into all sorts of churches in many and various ways, doesn't it? And you can, I mean, it's a very effective sales pitch to say, look, what I'm saying is true because I'm the guy driving the Cadillac and you're the guy driving the Toyota. So who do you think is in good with God? Who do you think God wants you to listen to? Me driving the Cadillac? Or this guy over there driving the Toyota? Man judges by what he can see. God looks into the heart. If the apostles would have been judged the veracity of their teaching based upon how prosperous they were in this life, St. Paul, among the many, would have to be judged an abject failure. Mike's on the line calling from his car. Mike, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. I appreciate your program. And I just want a couple of comments, and you kind of touched on it, is, you know, God sees what's in your heart, and whatever she's doing, right or wrong, will be judged by God. But I am real concerned about and it has to be a huge number of people are being misled based on the amount of money that she generates.
That is the greatest. That's why I started out talking about the seed, because a bad tree that's just bearing bad fruit, that's onerous enough. That's concerning enough. But when that seed is being spread into the hearts of other people and believed and taking root, then much more damage is being done. Much more. Anything else, Mike?
No, that's just the comments I made.
Thank you very much for your call. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We're getting your reaction to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch series. It's ongoing through Wednesday on Joyce Meyer Ministries. We had one of the co-authors of that series with us earlier in the first hour, Carolyn Tuft. Andy's calling from his car. Andy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
I just want to make a little comment about, you know, I spent some time in churches where this gospel is preached and everything, and the way they look at it is if you're not reaching that level, then there's something wrong with your faith. But the Lord also tells us that many will come in his name and many will proclaim things, and that they're just false teachers. And I think sometimes we have to worry about and look at what people are preaching and to be discerning. But we live in a society that everybody wants everything quickly, and the Lord will bless us. He will bless us abundantly. But the Lord and the Word also tells us that those blessings aren't necessarily going to be riches, that our true riches are being built up awaiting for us in heaven. And I think that because of our society and the way we're going, we all want to be petted. We all want to be stroked. We all want all these good things. But yet we don't really want to do what it takes in order to be truthful and follow the Lord and what his true teachings are.
Andy, thank you very much. You know, there's a bit of a trap here, and that is that Joyce Meyer she even says to her followers, you know, if people criticize you, it's just because they're envious of you. They want what you have, but they don't have to do what you do to get it. That's what she says in one of the installments of this series, which is essentially throwing her followers right back again on their own works. Everyone's envious of you of how much blessings you've earned from God by being obedient. Who gets lost in the shuffle there? Who doesn't even get mentioned? Jesus Christ. Christians praise this, sing this song, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." But if you listen to these teachers, it sounds as if the blessings are really flowing from us in the end. Not as though God is causing the blessings, not though he gives them to us. We have to earn them, really. I mean, that's the essential message here, isn't it? You want blessings from God, you're going to have to earn it. You have to do something for it. God just doesn't give out blessings, you know. Make no mistake, we're not talking about some generous God who just gives things to people who don't deserve them. I can't think of anything more contrary to the pure gospel, to the very central definition of what grace is: undeserved favor and mercy, unmerited mercy at the hand of God, for Christ's sake. Paul puts it this way. He says of Jesus Christ, although he was rich, he became poor so that through his poverty we might be made rich. That same Savior talks about who took on poverty. And we're not just talking about physical poverty. We're talking about the poverty of a man who hangs on the cross accountable for all the sins of the world. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. That poverty of spirit can only be the recognition that we are beggars before God. We are the poor, miserable sinners who need everything God can do for us and everything God does do for us in Christ. We got a full board of calls. Let's see if we can open some phone lines here. We'll go next to Don, who's calling from his car. Don, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes, thank you. Just traveling through St. Louis on my way back to Cincinnati, and I agree with the program very much. The thing that I find all across the nation right now is there seems to be an epidemic in the church to find these heroes to worship, be it a Hagin or a Copeland or any of these individuals. And it almost seems to be linked with the hyper-faith principle and also certainly the massive growth of the megachurch principle, which so overshadows the small church.
Don, I couldn't agree with you more. That's a very astute observation. Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, there does seem to be a number of things coming together here. I would call it, and this is not my term, I would call it a church afflicted by the cult of personality. And along with personality, a big personality comes a big church and big budgets and all of those things. That's what I would call it, a church afflicted by the cult of personality. But there's more to it than that. There is, in essence, a church that is so starved of the Word of God, essentially. It's got the Word of God. The Bibles are open and people are thumbing through them and marking them with highlighters. But Christ is never drawn out of those scriptures to comfort the sinner. They're always being thrown back on their own works. And these people are so starved, dehydrated of the Word of God, that anything looks good, that any message that holds out any kind of false hope is immediately latched onto, that any white knight that comes riding in is immediately declared savior. Paul is calling from his car. Paul, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hey, Todd, I really, really enjoyed those St. Louis Post-Dispatch articles, a real eye-opener for me. Did you notice one detail in there? Maybe you've already covered this. I just tuned in. That of all this enormous money flowing into that operation, $95 million a year, that they only give away about $800,000 to overseas charities, even though they make a big deal about that in their promo and publicity materials. I mean, does this woman have no shame? I just can't believe it. I mean, I would disagree with her theologically no matter what, but, you know, if she were like Mother Teresa, bringing in $95 million and giving $90 million away to charities, I might have a different opinion, but just hoarding this wealth is just unbelievable to me.
Well, what do you think it says about her organization? Because literally there are corporations who have that kind of bottom line, Paul, who give away more money than that. I mean, we're talking about Coca-Cola probably gives more money away than that. What do you think it says about the organization?
Well, I think it says the organization is really about Joyce Meyer and her extravagant tastes and her desire for wealth. It just blows my mind. A coworker today was telling me that their father-in-law was hired to lay brick at the headquarters. One of the conditions everybody had to pass to work there is that they had to be Pentecostal, which I found very interesting. This is just corruption, and it's profoundly disturbing to me. And I'm glad that the whistle is being blown on this. It makes all honest preachers look bad. I mean, it will make everybody wonder, well, what are they really in it for? But this is, I just, when I read the article, I said, lady, have you no shame? It's just unbelievable.
One other thing, Paul, before I let you go, what do you make of the kind of average Lutheran woman out there who thinks Joyce Meyer hung the moon? On Sunday, she goes to church at the average kind of St. Louis Lutheran church, listens intently to the pastor. On Monday, she's tuned into Joyce Meyer. She's listening to tapes. She's reading the books. She doesn't see the discrepancy.
Well, she needs to walk into her pastor the next Sunday and tell the pastor she's resigning her membership because she can't serve two masters. Not that the pastor's her master, but either she's going to be faithful to Christ and his word or she's going to go run after Joyce Meyer. And shame on the pastors in this community who aren't from the pulpit warning their flock against this kind of false teacher. Ultimately, I lay the blame at their feet.
Paul, thank you for the call. Thank you for waiting as well. Now, he says, I don't know whether Joyce Meyer has any shame. I do know what she says. She'll be the first one to tell you she sleeps like a baby. She sleeps like a baby. She doesn't think there's anything wrong here. So whether or not Joyce Meyer has shame or not over the way the affairs of the operation are conducted, we'll let Joyce speak for herself. I'm far more concerned about having no shame at robbing people of the gospel and telling them the Bible's one message is obey me and do what I tell you, and you will be blessed. Real quickly, before we go to this break, Mark is on the line calling from his car. Mark, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello. I haven't had the privilege of reading the article by Joyce about Joyce Meyer yet, but I do have a question about obeying the Lord, and maybe you can help me here.
Sure.
Jesus did say, if you love me, you will obey me. And I was curious about, isn't there a place for a believer to walk in obedience and give all the credit for the desire and the power and the glory for obeying just back to the Lord and not take any of that for himself and just do it as a unworthy servant?
Mark, you are absolutely right. I don't think I've ever heard anyone state it, actually, in those terms as in a crystalline way, as you put it. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. All right. Obedience to the commandments flows from love for our Savior. How are you doing? How are you doing? Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So I ask you, something to contemplate through this break. How you doing? How's your love for Jesus today? Now remember, his commandments don't command that you do your best or that you try your hardest. His commandments are the same commandments God gave in the Old Testament. Jesus sums them up very neatly whenever he is asked. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Total, complete devotion to your God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the summary. If you want the longer version, go to Exodus 20. Have no other gods before me. Do not misuse my name. Remember the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. And Jesus, remember, he reminds us that those commandments don't only apply to what you do with your hands, but what goes on in your head, too. And the rest of the commandments. How you doing? Can you claim you really love Jesus? Or do you still need him as a savior?
The voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
17th century theologian Johann Gerhardt wrote of Christ's intercession for us in prayer. What will the Heavenly Father deny his beloved Son? What will our gracious Savior not obtain by the power and merit of his satisfaction accomplished for us? The shrine of heaven stands open to him. Christ delivers our prayers to the secret counsel of God. Will the Father not hear him? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is called Meditations on Divine Mercy by Johann Gerhardt. You can order Meditations on Divine Mercy by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or visit our website issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section and you'll find information on our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Meditations on Divine Mercy. When you call or write, mention Issues Etc.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. Good news on the education front. A national test shows progress for 4th and 8th grade students in math. But some disappointing findings were in the report, too. reading scores remain flat among elementary and junior high school kids. Keith Peters reports.
The test, officially called the National Assessment of Educational Progress, is widely regarded as the nation's report card. Secretary of Education Rod Page hailed the math results as stellar, but the reading scores have remained, according to the Associated Press, fairly stagnant since 1992. Andrew Porter of Empower America says more needs to be done.
We all support accountability, but for too long, liberals' teachers' unions have stood in the way of that, and these scores reflect that. Moderate gains to basic proficiency just aren't what we need to be. We need to get all these kids at proficient.
Myron Lieberman, executive director of the Education Policy Institute, is more blunt.
I don't feel we're doing worse when the test scores go down, and I don't feel we're doing better when the test scores go up. Unless there is a fairly sizable difference in 1 year or over a few years, I don't think we should get too excited.
Porter says this is a huge issue that takes a lot of work, and education is a multi-billion dollar industry.
There's a lot of entrenched interest groups who have agendas in this, and it's really necessary for everyone to step back and focus on who education is really for. It's for children.
States must administer the national tests every 2 years to gauge a child's progress on exams. For Family News in Focus, I'm Keith Peters.
Andrew Porter believes school choice, though not a silver bullet, is a necessary step in ensuring a quality education for the most children. He calls education one of the greatest investments we make and adds America needs an educated populace from rural Mississippi to downtown New York City. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
On the next Midday Living Jubilee, live at 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO. Join Joni Harwell and me, Diane Summers. We will talk with Lutherans for Life about the convention and about Sanctity of Life Sunday and the new calendar that's coming up. We'll also talk with Dr. Gregory Jantz, certified dependency professional, about moving beyond depression. It begins at 11:05, Living Jubilee, on AM 850 KFUO.
Issues Etc. is partially underwritten by Concordia Publishing House, publishers of our Book of the Month for November, Meditations on Divine Mercy by Johann Gerhardt. The cost is $12.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, check out our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Meditations on Divine Mercy, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 25 minutes left in open lines. At the end of those 25 minutes, in the third hour of the program, Adam Mezzero joins us. He's an attorney and writer in Atlanta, Georgia, and author of an article in the latest issue of Touchstone Magazine titled Defining Marriage Down. We're going to talk about the oh-so-subtle strategy of the gay activists when it comes to the issue of gay marriage. Essentially, they're saying marriage is of such vast worth that it needs to be expanded to include same-sex couples. We'll get more from Adam Mezzero in the third hour of the program. It's open lines 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Two more thoughts before we go back to the phones. Yes, indeed, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And every time, and this is a word of law from the mouth of our Savior. Whenever we're talking about keeping commandments and obedience, these are words of law wherever they come from. The law does there what it always does, even in the life of the Christian. It shows us our inability to keep his commandments, and therefore we have to, if we are honest with ourselves, admit that we do not love Jesus as we ought to. Do we love him? Yes, of course. But because our obedience is never perfect, we have to conclude our love is not perfect. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and he doesn't mean just do your best. He says, keep them. Not just try to keep them, keep them. The law always shows us our sin. It's very good that those words were spoken by one who not only commands love and obedience, but one who loved and obeyed for us. The law will always leave us with no place to stand save in the love and obedience of Jesus Christ. Do Christians obey from a pure heart? Not on this side of heaven. The only perfect obedience is found in that what Jesus rendered for us. Do Christians do good works? and give God all the credit, as the caller said before the break? They ought to. But I think if we're honest with ourselves, we even, in that respect, cannot claim to give God all the credit. We always like to keep a little for ourselves. I will tell you this. Perfect obedience to the law has only been rendered by Jesus Christ. Our obedience, as a result of what Christ has done for us, is not to be the focus of our life. His obedience is to be the focus of our life. What he did for us is to be our focus. And then obedience on our part flows naturally. Good tree, with Jesus as its seed, good fruit. If you focus on your obedience, I can tell you where you'll land. Either in the camp of the Pharisees, I thank God that I'm not like other people, or in utter despair. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, which explains why people are willing to buy the next book from Joyce Meyer, because she says it's all about you being obedient. Well, I haven't quite measured up yet. I think I need some more encouragement from Joyce. When's that next book coming out? Mike is calling from Kirkwood. Mike, welcome to Issues, Etc.
How you doing, Todd?
Doing well.
Listen, regarding the central theme of the Bible that Joyce Meyer listed and that you gave a corollary of, I have marked in here in mine the actual literal central theme of the Bible. You know where that is?
No, tell me about it.
Psalm 118, right in the middle. Somebody did a check through and found the central chapter of the Bible, and it's Psalm 118. And if you go right down in there in Psalm 118, number 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
That's pretty convenient, isn't it?
Now you wonder if that isn't there for a purpose. I mean, you look right down in there, and it is almost black and white, right in the middle of the Bible. And isn't that, in the widest sense of the word, what the central theme of the Bible really is all about?
Well, I guess we could say, perhaps as a matter of coincidence, because, of course, it depends on how you count the letters in the Greek or the Hebrew. By way of coincidence, it does happen to be the central message, which is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Who is this Lord? It is Jesus Christ, come in human flesh, obedient for us.
Isn't the problem that a lot of these word and faith, these people who flock to them, isn't the main problem not that they are asking the people to trust in God's word, but they're asking them to trust in their word, their restatement of the word? They always come out with books and tapes. And those books and those tapes are supposed to increase your faith. And yet people have available to them the raw scriptures themselves that they could go to.
Mike, thank you very much. You know, I think that's one way of thinking about this. Here's the way I would put exactly what Mike said. You get Joyce's latest book or tape in your hands. What should you do with it? You should do as you do with everything that purports to be God's Word, that purports to explain God's Word, that purports to further your understanding of God's Word. It must be measured against God's Word itself, which means you've got to know the Scriptures yourself and be acquainted with them. Jesus is very clear on this. To those who wished to acquaint themselves with the Scriptures, he says to them, you search the Scriptures diligently. The word there, they scour the Scriptures because they desperately search the Scriptures because in them you think you find eternal life. Well, they are those that testify of me. Eternal life is found in those Scriptures. And those Scriptures testify of me. Or he puts it more plainly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. No other way to the Father, and that includes, by the way, your own obedience. Phil is calling from his car. Phil, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, I have quite a question, more than my voice. I got a little cold. In Georgia, I really not believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and to save us from our sins.
No, Phil, I think, and thank you very much. I think Joyce does believe that. I've heard her say it. She talks about the cross. She talks about believing in Jesus as her Savior. But as is true, you know, we did that series on, we did that two-hour lesson on the purpose-driven life. And what do you end up saying at the end of this? I've been going back through the book one more time. This is the third time I've read the book. Going through it one more time because I've been asked to write a review for it, for one of the publications of Synod. And I say to myself, Rick Warren knows the gospel. He knows that Jesus Christ paid the full price for our sins at the cross, that it is his obedience that wins favor before God and not our. He knows that. But he also holds a completely contradictory and inconsistent view and teaches it in spades in 320 pages of the book. And that is, well, but still, Jesus has done what he can. The rest is up to you. So claiming to give with the right hand, he takes with the left. And I think the same is true of Joyce Meyer. It may be a matter of degree there, how much you take with the left. But it's very difficult to square these two things. One, someone who says that the central message of the Bible is, obey me and do what I tell you and you will be blessed, and Scripture's clear testimony that it is through the obedience of Christ that we are not only blessed but also saved. Maybe here's where the disagreement lies. Maybe here's where the terrible contradiction exists in the teaching of Joyce Meyer and so many others. She might say, yes, it's the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, his perfect life and death and resurrection for us, that brings us to faith, that saves us. But then she'll say, now, if you want to really get the blessings of God, that's kind of the entry level. That gets you into the mailroom of God's great corporation. You want to get up to the penthouse, the rest is up to you. It's going to be your obedience. You want the blessings, start obeying. Taking with the left what she claims to give with the right. Jesus didn't die on the cross, apparently, to give us all the blessings of God, just to get us into the mailroom. The good news of Jesus Christ is not only what saves us and brings us to faith, it's also what strengthens us and keeps us in the Christian faith. It's what moves good works in us. It is the good seed that produces good fruit. So that it is Christ's work from beginning to end. Does God's word clearly demand that Christians obey? Absolutely. But what does it continually set before us as the source and the motivation and the fountainhead of that obedience? What Jesus did for us at the cross. Stray from the cross, you're on your own. Literally. Believe me, you don't want to be on your own with God. Don't stray from the cross. Kathy is calling from St. Charles. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call. I wonder if her books and the things that she promotes to supposedly encourage you in your faith and your walk do just the opposite. I wonder if it's similar to some things that the Roman Catholic Church did in the Middle Ages, and that not necessarily encouraging people to, read, learning, helping people learn to read, the Scripture for themselves. Of course, Martin Luther, translated the Bible into, German for people so they could read it for themselves. And I know when I watched her program, she said, don't worry about doctrine, don't worry about theology, I will tell you. How is that different than what the Roman Catholic Church did?
You asked the question correctly there at the end, Kathy. No different whatsoever. It's not just similar. It's identical. Let me put it to you this way. There really is only one counterfeit church. There's a true church and there's a counterfeit church. And the counterfeit church is very unimaginative. It just keeps recycling the same old nonsense over and over again. The same old error again and again. Sometimes it presents it in kind of full force, open up the fire hydrant and let the error gush forth, as in the case of, say, someone who says, look, we're just saved by works. We need to be obedient. Jesus is just an example of how to be obedient. There it is in its full force, open the fire hydrant, splashing you in the face. Sometimes it's very subtle, a tiny trickle, a tiny stream of water. It's the same error. It's coming from the same polluted stream. The counterfeit church is a one-trick pony, a one-note trumpet. Works, 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 works. Rely upon yourself, 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 yourself. It says it in many and various different ways. It gives Jesus honorable mention at every opportunity. Jesus is a great guy. Oh, yeah, he died for us. But it always adds something of you. So I don't know if the comparison, we should necessarily be saying, well, this is just Roman Catholicism. We certainly need to point out the similarities between the two. But what we're really doing is talking about the true church and the counterfeit church. In the counterfeit church, you will hear all about Jesus, and then you'll be told, in one way, shape, matter, or form, you will be told, but there's one other thing that has to happen. Or, in some cases, there are lots of other things that have to happen. Yeah, Jesus died on the cross for you, and he won you God's undeserved favor and merit and grace. But if you really want to get in good with God, if you want real intimacy with him, if you really want the blessings to start to flow, there's one other thing. Jesus plus. You see, the counterfeit church doesn't leave Jesus out. It just adds to. And whenever you add to what Jesus does with your efforts or your merits, you take away what Jesus did for you at the cross. We're taking your questions and your comments on the St. Louis Post-Dispatch series on Joyce Meyer's ministries. It's open lines. Our call-in numbers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Kurt is calling from his car. Kurt, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Pastor Todd. After reading yesterday's article on Joyce Meyer in the Post-Dispatch, I was really saddened just the fact that she has to have so much money herself. And I've heard her on the radio. She's a very gifted speaker. I mean, she may be very well-intentioned. She may help a lot of people. In broad strokes. But the thing that I think discredits Christianity in this expose is, why does she have to keep so much money in this ministry? Why does she have to keep so much? I mean, I think of other people who have public ministries, Billy Graham, and I'm sure they live comfortably, but from what I know, and I don't know all the details, they don't live so ostentatiously. I'd like your comment.
Thank you, Kurt. Now, and I, for every Joyce Meyer, I can point to someone who does what one would expect a genuine preacher of the gospel would do with the living they gain from the gospel. Rick Warren, I mentioned him before. Every last penny earned in the sale of the purpose-driven life goes to his church. Cha-ching. He doesn't take it personally. He takes, in fact, I think from the sales of previous books, he very recently repaid Saddleback for 20 years of salary. He gave it all back. This must be commended. I mean, this is unbelievable. James Dobson does the same thing with his books. I don't think he takes a penny from his books. And believe me, if he did, he'd make Joyce Meyer look like the poor stepsister. So for every example of the Joyce out there, you can find someone of integrity. Whether they give the money away or whether they keep it, my concern remains the same. Really. Joyce Meyer could give all $95 million away. if she was still preaching that the central message of the Bible is our obedience and how we gain favor with God through our obedience and the blessings of God through our obedience, it wouldn't make any difference. It would still be bad seed. The fruit may appear to be lovely and healthful, but you judge the fruit by the seed, by the tree it comes from. Adam and Eve looked at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't eat from the tree. You'll die. They looked at the tree and they said, but the fruit looks so good. The fruit looks so pleasing to the eye and desired to make one wise. They believed the lie of Satan that said, hey, look, the fruit. Look at this fruit. How could this fruit hurt you? God knows that when you eat of this good and beautiful fruit, you'll be like him. Don't focus on the fruit. Ask this question, what tree does it come from? Does it come from the good tree of the gospel where Jesus and his perfect life and death and resurrection are fully, 100%, completely, without qualification, sufficient to save a person from beginning to end, no extra additions required, the good fruit of the gospel will be born there? Or does it come from a bad tree that says, well, Jesus did some of it, most of it, maybe even almost all of it, but there is one additional thing. Bad tree. And they can give all their money away, it's still bad fruit. James is calling from his car. James, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, I was just going to make a comment. You were talking about the false system. I guess it goes all the way back to the beginning when Cain and Abel, one brought the works of his hands to God and wasn't accepted, and Cain brought the blood sacrifice. As we go through time, I believe what we have right now is we have the manifestation of Mystery Babylon covering the earth as it is right now, which is the false world religious system, which basically goes all the way back to the false system that began back during the time of Cain and Abel.
James, it's a brilliant insight. It's a brilliant insight. You said Mystery of Babylon, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. The mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. So really in our studies of world of language, we'll see that's the false world religious system. And God says that's what's going to be happening in the end times. And we have to beware of her and come out of her. And I imagine, you know, the vast majority of Lutherans know who she is. And, you know, but we have to understand who the daughters are and et cetera, too. I listened to Joyce for years. I listened to her on how she really gets into the people and kinds of people. And I believe the vast majority of her followers probably are unsaved people.
I don't know about that, James. I don't know about her or her. I do know if you would consistently believe that God's blessings depend on your obedience, you're not saved. You would fit beautifully in just about any other religion beside Christianity. And I like your insight into the mystery of Babylon. The mystery of Babylon is, in fact, the apostate church, whatever form it takes. The false church, the counterfeit church. We've got two more callers, very little time. Let's see what Darlene has to say, calling from Webster Groves. Darlene, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Well, I have found four wonderful verses for Joyce Meyer, and it's found in Matthew 6, verses 19, 20, 21, and the final one, 24, where it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then the final one on 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, which in today's language is money.
Darlene, thank you very much, and thank you for being patient there. I'm going to reserve a few final thoughts here until we take this final caller here. Diane is calling from St. Louis. Diane, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello, Todd. I wanted to quote on the Meyer Minute. He said, knee deep is spiritual quicksand, and that really reminded me of Joyce Meyer, and it only seems like a matter of time before the thing crumbles.
Thank you very much, Diane. I don't know if it's going to crumble or not. You know, these, you think, oh, how long can this last? How long can you build a pyramid scheme of people who you've duped, and how long can the charlatanism continue? And pretty soon, these poor people are going to run out of money to give you. But there's always another crop of poor people to give you the money. You know it. That's how you build the worldwide ministry. When you run out of the suckers born every minute here, you move someplace else. It happens. It could be that next year she's $100 million, and 5 years from now she's $200 million. It could be that eventually Joyce Meyer's operation becomes a $1 billion-a-year business. It could be that it gives away three-quarters of it. It could be that she decides she's not going to take any more salary. She's just going to live like an ordinary person. It could be that she feeds the poor in mass. It could be that she travels the world spreading all the money around that she collects from people, sales books and all those things like that. If the message is still that your obedience gains you favor with God and that God's blessings in your life depend upon your obedience, if that's still the message, it's still a bad tree. She can pass on her ministry to someone else, and the name can change, and the suspects can change. If the message is still the message of the counterfeit church, yes, Jesus, but Jesus plus something else, whatever that something else may be, it's still a bad tree. The fruit may look appealing. It may be pleasing to the eyes. It may appear to be desired to make one wise. There may be testimonials to the wonderful taste and healthful benefits of this fruit up and down on websites and books and articles and you name it. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch may turn around and recant everything they say and say, Joyce Meyer, we were wrong. Greatest thing since sliced bread. We've seen the light. The whole world may stand up and applaud. If it's still the message of your obedience rather than the obedience of Christ, if it's still the message of you rather than what Jesus has done for you, if it's still the message that, yeah, you needed Jesus when you're a sinner, but now you really need to get about the business of obeying so that God can bless you, it's still the counterfeit church. It's still a bad tree. And that's all really that really matters. It's not that hard to see. When you know you're looking at the gospel when it is so purely Jesus and none of you that you almost say, that's just too good to be true. In Jesus, it is that good and it is true. We'll be right back with the third hour.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.